Hello and welcome to Vista Talks, interesting discussions with interesting people from all around the world. I am your host for today, Maria Roa, and I am delighted to be joined by Brita McKee. Brita is a true force in the realm of motivation. She is an award-winning inspirational global TED keynote speaker with a remarkable military background. She is not only known for her empowering talks, but also for expertise in coaching teams and individuals on the effective use of social media. Along with her passion to inspire massive performance and ambition, Brita is also a lifelong advocate for equality. In this episode, we'll dive into Brita's unique approach to leadership, explore her strategies for resilience and motivation, and uncover the secrets behind successful social media campaign. Well, I can't wait to do this. Brita, welcome to the show.
Welcome yourself, Maria. Thank you so much for having me. Really looking forward to getting into some of this detail because anything like a conversation to change people's lives. So hopefully I'll say something in this that will hopefully relate to someone listening and maybe it'll spark some thoughts and bring
me. I bet it's going to help me. So I mean, at least it would be one person for sure, but I bet all our audience would greatly appreciate all your advice. So let's go. Yeah. I did read somewhere that you have been 20 years in the Reserve Defense Force. How has your military experience shaped your approach to leadership and motivation?
Yeah, so I think my military experience has totally shaped everything that I do in the leadership sphere. And I also ran my military career in parallel with a banking career. So I was with global finance houses, worked with teams all over the world for 16 years. And so I suppose I felt like my leadership approach was quite different to most people's leadership approaches in the corporate world. And that was all down to the military career for 20 years. I think in the military, you're taught that leadership is an honor. You're taught that you are there to serve your people. You are there to keep them safe. You are there to motivate them, to direct them, to set their boundaries, to, you know, set your standards and so on. And that is the way they see leadership in the army. And to be fair, having done it for so many years, that's exactly what I learned how to do. What I learned then also in my parallel corporate career was leadership wasn't just running in that kind of depth or that kind of honor in corporates. And I think that makes a massive difference. And I learned through the way I lead teams as a result of that military background, versus how corporate teams lead, slightly different. So I always try to teach people in the corporate world, which I know so well, which is part of my DNA, how to do it in a sort of more military style as well, in terms of the honor of leadership, because leadership for me is how we're going to change this world. And the reason I say that is if I can get everyone in the world feeling like a leader that can inspire others around them, then we can change this world. And we can change how we operate, not just in our corporate worlds, but in our communities and societies, and see, you know, can we up our bar a little bit and see our role in this world as one of inspiration for others?
I do completely agree with what you're saying. Actually, I think it was yesterday, I watched this video of, I think it was New York soccer team. I didn't even know they had one, but yeah, sorry guys, not too much into soccer. And it was one day that it was pouring rain, and you know they take kids with them out into the field before the match starts. It was pouring rain, and all the soccer players had the jackets on, but yeah, the kids didn't, because obviously they did have jackets prepared for the players, but not for the kids. So it was pouring rain. And then this one player, he went on and he took off his jacket and he put it onto the kids. So all the team members looked and they all followed him. Yes. So this is like leadership. I did see many comments of people saying like, no, we're doing it just because he did it. I'm like, no, he's leading the team the right way. You know, I mean, so yeah, leadership, it's really important because it can lead everyone into the right path and way. And I think military sports, I mean, there's so many things that we can use in our everyday life to help us with leadership. So
right? Yeah, there is loads of brilliant examples in the world of the power of leadership. I just think what we also have in the world is a lack of maybe understanding of that kind of learning and what it can do for you. So I think people see other people as leaders, but maybe they don't feel like that themselves, or perhaps in a corporate world where it's so crazy and so busy, they feel like, that kind of level of honorary leadership is not possible. It actually is, but it's something that we've got to teach people. And that's the other important bit of all of this. What I have learned is we are good at teaching our society's skills they need for their work, but we do not teach them the emotional intelligence they need to lead fabulously and brilliantly. And if only we were seeing that as important and as crucial, and investing as much in that as we do in the skills piece, we would have A, a lot less conflict in our workplaces, B, a lot more fun, and C, a lot of people would learn a lot more from each other. So to me, it
Wow.
makes commercial sense and social sense. It just makes sense in every way. I think we're just learning that now in this generation, from what I can see. I do realize that a lot of corporates are starting to, ask for emotional intelligence skill and training. I do a lot in and out of different corporates on this topic, but not enough. So I think if we want to change the world, everybody should be taught this kind of topic and nature and how to do it right from school all the way through to adulthood.
So, I mean, now you're talking about emotional intelligence as do you see that as a key quality that make an effective leader in today's business world? Because I know you coach business owners, CEOs, director levels on resilience,
Yeah.
vision, self-motivation. So is this one of them?
Absolutely, yeah. So what I learned and what I've seen in practice is if someone who is in a leadership position doesn't fully understand not only just how they make decisions, and if they don't understand fully what unconscious bias they may have, then they don't fully understand the kind of judgments they might be making to their own detriment in their job day to day. If they, on top of that, don't understand their own emotional intelligence, and that is going to cause them, that's always going to be baggage for them. If you unlock the understanding and the mastery of your own emotional intelligence, it means that you can flow with the world around you a lot better, and you can contribute to the world around you a lot better. And if you're leading a team and you don't understand your own emotional intelligence, well, how on earth are you going to understand a team's emotional intelligence? And most of our teams are not made of robots. They're actually made up of humans. And every human, regardless of gender, is born with a full working suite of emotions. But most of us are never taught how to use them, how to identify them, how to process them. And what you get as a result of that is a lot of stress and burnout and pointless conflict in work environments. And it's literally down to people not understanding not just their own emotion, but everyone else's as well. And also the fact that we are all unique. So your team of humans will never be like a team of robots. We are all totally from diverse backgrounds. We've seen things done differently elsewhere. We are all different, probably levels of interest in the likes of emotional intelligence, unconscious bias, and our own decision making, and mastering healthy decision making and powerful decision making. So I just think if you want to lead a team brilliantly, you've got to understand all of this in yourself. And then if your team is not quite in the same space in terms of their education, you've got to get them that education. I've done this before. I've watched teams transform, and it is not only a privilege and an honor for me to watch that, but it's also knowing that that kind of investment is going to change that team forever, which is just, that's my sort of, I suppose that's my purpose in life, is to try and give people the tools, the right tools and the right type of education, but give it to them technically so that they can understand it.
That's great. Could we say then that emotional intelligence, it's directly related to empathy?
Oh, yeah. So empathy is a trait where you can understand someone else's point of view, situation, and feeling. Emotional intelligence is really understanding your own, first of all, and understanding how to process and master emotion, not just for yourself, but even on a team. And that results in a lovely, calm, paced way of working. And that if you want to like achieve all of your objectives with your team or your company, then you need to be able to master this stuff, because people take their lead from you as well. So emotional intelligence is all of the emotions. Empathy is one of the traits. Emotions go from everything from anger, frustration. It's just how we feel. So if we feel let down, disappointed, hurt, overlooked, misunderstood, all of those are happening on a regular basis in most people's work life. And a lot of the time, what they don't have is the tools then to bring that a step forward. So with emotional intelligence, you've got to be able to understand your emotion, identify what one is it. So for example, if you and I were in a meeting, and you had said something that I had picked up perhaps in some way, I need to identify what that made me feel. I need to understand the source of my feeling and see, can I validate that? Because quite often humans have an inner critic as well. So what might happen in some meetings is something might be said, and some of us might take that sort of statement as something personal. And then that will lead to the anger or the hurt or the whatever the emotion is. But what you've got to do with that one is when you try to validate that, that's where it gets interesting, because sometimes if I have an insecurity still in me and you've said something, it might trigger something in my insecurities, but you may not have meant that personally at all. And so what I need to do with that emotion is rather than let it destroy my energy and therefore drain my focus in the wrong direction, I need to process that. I need to figure out, can I validate that? And if not, then I just need to let it flow. And what you do with emotion is express it. People do not understand that emotion does not evaporate. So if I'm in a meeting and I'm walking around with anger in me or hurt or upset, I carry that everywhere with me all day. And I add the emotions to all, from all of the meetings and all of the conversations I have that day. And if we do not get our emotions processed and flowing and expressed out of us, they turn into stress and burnout. You get ill eventually. And I want people to be happier and healthier at their work. It doesn't mean you're less busy. It just means you know how to master the crazy.
Yeah, you know how to manage the craziness at your daily
job. You actually begin to enjoy it more because you're practicing mastery on yourself as you go, and your team is learning from you as well. So everybody, it's a win-win situation.
Yeah. How do you think that business leaders can inspire, motivate the teams into in it, like when there is challenging times?
Yeah. So I love change and transformation, which is an unusual thing to say because most humans are wired to resist it.
Yeah.
And the only reason I enjoy it so much is because I've had so much of it in my life. And in the finance world, we've been restructuring banks since 2009. So it's like part of my DNA now. And at one point in my life, when everybody was, you know, worried about restructures and worried about changes and worried about markets changing, and the whole talk was really of fear, I started examining, is that going to help me with this change? Is that going to help any of us with this change? And I decided at some point, I'm going to be part of the solution rather than more of the problem. Because if we have to change and we need to restructure and we need to diversify or we need to get more innovative, I have two choices. I can either sit over in the corner and feel like it's being done to me, or I can get involved and I can see how can I get this change into shape, in better shape? How can I help here? How can I put my shoulder to the wheel a bit here to help us through this? And what I learned by doing that was I found more opportunities in that change world than I ever had before it. And that then tells you that every change and restructure and reset will always bring you new opportunities. But if you are in the wrong mindset, you will not see them, you won't find them, and you'll come out of that worse off than you will if you can go with a growth mindset into change. And here's a statement that I want everyone to think about. Change is inevitable. Change is always going to happen. If you study the cycles of life and career and industry, you will find that it always changes and it goes in cycles. It's never going to stay stationary. So if we're in the corporate world, it makes a lot more sense to me that we get very skilled at dealing with change. And it shouldn't matter when change comes. We should have a change muscle in all our organizations that doesn't sort of take us and wind us for 6 months trying to deal with it and grapple with it. We should be expecting it. It's going to keep happening. The change is always the inevitable, but the growth is always the optional. So like COVID was the perfect example of change. Like people thought, you know, they were busy doing their thing. They were busy making their plans. Everyone was busy at work, hoping for a holiday. And then COVID came and changed everything. And some people come out of that with a whole new level of skill set, and some people did not. So that's the perfect example of, you know, if you have a growth mindset and change comes your way, you can ride that wave. You can find amazing things within that wave of change, and you can grow, you can develop, and you can change. And that's what I want people to start thinking. It's so reframing our thinking around restructures, resets, maybe changes in markets to here's an opportunity for us to get even better. So if we don't change, nothing changes. So for me, transformation and change is crucial. It makes us grow. And I want us to want to grow. I want us to want to develop. I want us to want to learn. Because back to my earlier point about leadership, if I can get everyone into that sort of transformation mindset, rolling with change and actually really embracing it, they're going to be brilliant leaders and they're going to take everybody with them in that kind of mindset.
So how do you manage to balance that you're telling us that change that it needs to happen, it is inevitable, with that people who have the need for command and control, you know? So that's why I think they're terrified of change, as you said, you know, because it's something they don't know. They're afraid of the unknown. So how do you balance those two things? And also, how do you do it whenever there is like a creative environment? Because, for instance, I do work in marketing, and so many times you do have to follow things, you know, because of the company culture. But at the same time, you do need your own space, you know, for creativity. So how can we balance all these, the change, you know, the control, the innovation, the creativity? How do we balance?
Yeah. So I've seen in the past where change has hit an organization and those who like to be able to control outcomes, which is most humans, and that's not that they're bad people, it's because it's a human innate need for certainty. So if you study Maslow's hierarchy of needs, you'll find that our primitive wiring wants certainty. It likes familiar. Our brains like the same thing on repeat. The bad news is that if we let our brains do the same thing on repeat and we resist change and we don't embrace it, that in itself is very bad for us because your brain also needs variety. You are at your best as a human when you are being stretched and you are being challenged and you are getting variety. So if you want a healthy mind and you want to grow neural pathways and get more creative in your thinking, you actually need change. Which is the difficult part for people to grasp, I think, because I don't think we sell change like that. But that's the way it actually works when you study the human and see what's good for us. Now, back to your earlier point. So when we have people who are not familiar with change, that's when you see that need for control and that resistance to do anything different. And we've always done it this way, so let's continue. What I've learned and what I've observed in many organizations and industries is those who resist it for too long and don't take the painful steps and don't face the inevitable that's going to happen, they're going to cause a lot of destruction around them. Whereas those who can reframe their thinking and start perhaps leading teams in different directions and doing things they have not done before, finding solutions they've never had to come up with before, being more vulnerable as leaders and asking for help, being open to getting those to support them who are good with change. So there's choice in the middle of all of that. Some people do make that choice not to roll with the change because it's just fear. And AI is going to bring massive change into everybody's world, work and personal. So the primitive wiring in most of us humans leads us to want familiarity. We want the same thing on repeat because that's familiar and that's our comfort zone. The bad news is that if we do not start to try new things, if our leaders do not get comfortable being vulnerable and getting support in around them when their industry or their market or their company needs to change, then they're going to delay the inevitable. So the change is the inevitable bit, but the growth is the optional bit. And what I've seen is so many companies in bad times, so downturns of market And I have watched companies come up the scale in the worst possible time for their business. What does that tell us? It means that if you can switch quickly when you see your market or your company or restructure or change around you, if you can get into the growth mindset fast, then you can outdo your competitors easily. But that's all down to mindset. And you mentioned earlier about sports and leadership. Sports psychology and corporate psychology have a lot of crossover. If you're on a team and you want to win, then winning is down to how you can innovate right there, right then. So thinking on your feet, acting fast, gets you into the place where you're leading. So for the companies that are going through a lot of change and are struggling with it, get people around you who understand change, who can help you inspire all of the people around you. You don't do this behind the closed door on your own, trying to do it the same way, because we all know if we don't change, nothing changes. So if our markets and our world around us, it is changing, we need to be changing at the same pace. And you can only do that if you have people prepared to take risks, try new things, be vulnerable, open up, and get the help in around them that they need. And that will save them a whole lot of damage and destruction in the long run. And also, you've got to remember that your company and your team is watching how you handle change. So if your lead is one of fast pace, you adapt quickly, you innovate quickly, you take action in a different direction quickly, you get into a vulnerable space, you let people help you, they are going to do the same.
You just said something really important. You said you let people help you. So you do need to trust your team and the people that you're working with, which is something that it is like the basic for every team, right?
Yes. And not every leader is seeing their role in that kind of space. I think leaders have an expectation upon them, depending on their culture. In terms of the work environment culture. And some of them don't feel like they can be vulnerable. And some of them think they should know it all. They're expected to know it all. So, what I have seen is rather than a leadership team actually being vulnerable and getting the right skill set in around them and the right support and the right help and the right inspiration, they've closed down. And that's ego. And when we are working with ego, we need to be really, really careful because if we allow our ego to dictate what we do in our boardrooms, then we are not doing the right things. So there's a toxic ego and there's a healthy ego. A healthy ego is confidence in your team and your leadership. And those with a healthy ego will know that they need others to support them. They won't have a problem being vulnerable, and they will get those around them that will get them going in the right direction. So if you want to go faster, then go together. If you want to go slower and cause yourself problems and more mop up and more work long term, well, then stay behind a closed door, and don't let anybody help you.
That's really interesting. Thank you so much for that. Well, we almost came to the end, but I don't want to go before asking you about your coaching in social media, because I know that you coach many teams and individuals on the use of social media.
Yeah.
So in which way do you do this, and what are the common mistakes that do you see people making in social media? How can they avoid them?
Yeah, so it's a great question, Maria. And I would say straight off, the most common issue that I see people on social media with is not posting. So if we can get all our company and our leaders starting to advocate more for what we do and what our product is and what our culture is and our company, then we will fix our own problems in a lot of cases. But what I see is this fear of using social media. Now, I think it's a small percentage of people who actually post on social media. So that tells us, so, and everybody is using it, but that means they are flicking and observing rather than actually advocating. The problem with that is if we are not visual and vocal as a brand, then no one knows our brilliance. If we stay hid and we are afraid of saying the wrong thing, then we are not doing anything with our own brand awareness. Now, what I do with a lot of groups is teach them how to do personal brand, because if you work for an organization and you start becoming more visual and vocal online everywhere, your brand that you work for automatically gets that kudos as well. Because if you find someone on social media that's saying something important that you want to get into more or you can relate to, you go to look to see who to work with. Nobody will win by all of our people staying quiet on social media. All you have to do on social media is lead the way you lead in your team. Lead the way you do with your colleagues. It's about encouraging everyone. It's about giving people support. It doesn't matter if there's nothing in it for you. It's free. You can go on social media and you can just encourage people you do not know, and you learn as a leader. You get the fulfillment and the dopamine for helping someone, which is what people, that's what humans tick on. That's what makes you feel good. And I want more humans feeling good. You can do that in the corporate world, online, or in real life with your teams. I just want us to do more of it. I don't see us doing enough of that, and that is free.
Yeah, I do agree that many times we go through social media and we only flick through. We only look at it, and the same faces are the ones talking all the time, are the ones giving the content, let's say. So yeah, I guess you're completely right. We need to start moving and doing a little bit more, each of us. So it will also make social media more interesting to see more different points of views.
Absolutely. Plus, if we think about it, all our colleagues are usually on LinkedIn. And yet, a lot of us are hiding and watching everybody else's posts. If you want to get to know me and I'm your colleague, there's a way I can open myself up. I can share my views and my opinions on social media that you might go, oh my God, I didn't know she was into leadership, or I didn't know she was into emotional intelligence, or I didn't know she went to that hackathon at the weekend for our company. We're learning from each other all the time. So the braver I can get people, the more visual and vocal I can get people, and the more I can get us all going to give, the more fun we're all going to have together as well. And I want people to have more fun, more encouragement off each other. Coaching environments are very good for all of us. We all learn, and enjoying our work more. Start reframing how you see your work. It's not a chore. It can be turned into something amazing. It doesn't matter whether you're doing a spreadsheet or you're doing a podcast. It can be something brilliant if you decide to see it like that.
Yeah, and you always have something to say, something to share, something to let the world know about you. So yeah, I agree with you 100%.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for such a great talk. Is there anything else that you would like to share with our audience today?
I just want leaders and companies to be a bit more ambitious, bold, and brave. And I want people leading like that, and I want that to inspire all of the teams below them, because I don't see enough of that either. I want us all to be braver and bolder, because we're all human, which means we are full of potential, and most of our potential is never realized. And if we look at that en masse in an organization, if we've got loads of humans and all of their potential is still within them, then we are not having the amount of fun we could have as a company, and life is short.
That sounds great. Well, if any of those leaders want to contact you, can they do it through LinkedIn? Do you have an email that you want to give out or?
Yeah, so my website is breedamccaig.com. I'm on LinkedIn. I'm very active there. I'm always chatting to people. So DMs are open. I'd love to hear from someone with a question after this podcast or a comment. I love to hear from listeners to see what it is they picked up. Everyone picks up something different, and that's really important. So there's no point in me having knowledge and wisdom and skill if I can't share it with you.
Well, that's great. So whenever we share, we will let all our audience know you're looking for the questions. I bet they will have many.
Yes.
So thank you so much. That is the end of today's show with Breedam McKeag. Please make sure to tune in again and or to listen to the next Business Talk show where we will be discussing more interesting topics with interesting people from around the world. Thank you, Breedam, so much.
My pleasure. Loved it. Enjoyed the conversation, Maria. Thank you for having me.